Good morning, Symphony. Today's passage comes from John chapter 3. Now, you may recognize this incredibly well-known verse, chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. It's a beautiful, succinct verse that captures the gospel. But I think the context of this passage can give us so much more depth and beauty to it. And I pray that this word would be illuminated to us today. So with that, let's read verse 1. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God." After this, Jesus and his disciples went into the Judean countryside, and he remained there with them and was baptizing. John also was baptizing at Enon near Salim, because water was plentiful there and people were coming and being baptized, for John had not yet been put in prison. Now a discussion arose between some of John's disciples and a Jew over purification. They came to John and said to him, "Rabbi, he who was with you across the Jordan, to whom you bore witness, look, he is baptizing and all are going to him." John answered, "A person cannot receive even one thing unless it is given him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, 'I'm not the Christ, but I have been sent before him.' The one who has the bride is the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is now complete. He must increase, but I must decrease. He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth belongs to the earth and speaks in an earthly way. He who comes from heaven is above all. He bears witness to what he has seen and heard, yet no one receives his testimony. Whoever receives his testimony sets his seal to this, that God is true. For he whom God has sent utters the words of God, for he gives a spirit without measure. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him." Amen. In the beginning, we see a Pharisee named Nicodemus come to meet Jesus at night in secret. He tells Jesus that he recognizes him as a teacher from God because of the signs and miracles that he performed. Now, you might expect Jesus to respond with something like, "Wow, you recognize me that I'm from God. That's great." But instead, he cuts to the chase and says something strange. He says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And later, he reiterates that they cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now, Nicodemus is a religious man, you see. He's a religious leader after all. And the Jewish people believed in their salvation for all of Israel. It was an ethnic rite. But Jesus is saying, you cannot see the kingdom of God just because you are of Israel. You need to be born again. And with that, Nicodemus is confused. He thinks, being born again? I'm a grown man. How am I supposed to do that? He's thinking of it as a physical birth. But Jesus clarifies that being born again is not a physical one, but a spiritual one, and in fact is the most important one. Jesus' words to Nicodemus is essentially a call to radical change and transformation. It's a call to turn away from our old sinful ways of living and to embrace this new life with him. And this new life is, well, amazing. Scripture says that when we are born again, we are made new in Christ. The old is gone, and behold, the new has come. Our hearts of stone are replaced with hearts of flesh. When we receive Jesus, we transform inside out and are made more into his likeness day by day. And that sure was the case for me. I accepted Jesus into my life during my college years. I remember the few summers in between when I'd reconnect with old high school friends. They all would say, "Wait, who are you? I don't recognize who you are anymore." And this was true. When I encountered Jesus, I had a choice to make. Do I follow him or do I follow myself? And when I chose him, my life started to change. I stopped drinking, partying, hooking up. I was used to swearing, but suddenly those words just lifted and left my vocabulary altogether without even trying. I replaced gossip and jealousy with renewed compassion and care. In some ways, a lot of my life was transformed instantly. I really did feel born again and transformed. However, in my day-to-day life, even up to this day, there were and are areas of my life where I need to constantly surrender to him. I need to carry my cross and die to the desires of my flesh daily in order to follow the ways of the Spirit. I still struggle with pride, with insecurity, self-reliance, just to name a few. Now, I don't know about you, but when I'm struggling, my first instinct is to hide, just like Adam and Eve. Sometimes shame can be overwhelming to the point that it makes it hard to even approach God. Verse 19 says, "The light has come into the world, but people love the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil." It continues verse 20 saying, "For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed." Sometimes it does feel better to sit in the darkness and to just wallow in it. But when we are in the darkness for too long, it feels scary to walk in the light again. When we follow the ways of the flesh, when we are sinning, it's so easy to stay in this place. And we eventually come to hate the light because we are scared of being exposed, even before God. We are scared of being humiliated, of being shamed, of being rejected, of being condemned. But verse 18 says, "Whoever believes in him is not condemned." In fact, and here's this verse 16, "God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." It's because of love, not of condemnation. And Jesus is a light. He says that in contrast to those who hate the light, verse 20, "Whoever does what is true comes to the light so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God." This means that when we are walking in the light, it's not just our sin that is exposed, but the full depth of the gospel of Jesus' death and resurrection and his complete forgiveness and redemption that transforms us. And that is the thing that is illuminated in the light of God. Plato once said, "We can easily forgive a child who is afraid of the dark, but the real tragedy of life is when men are afraid of the light." He's right. It is a real tragedy of life when we are too afraid to come into the light. It's like when we're in a dark room all day and then suddenly walk outside on a sunny day. Our eyes may hurt at first for a bit as the rays enter in, but after a while, we realize how beautiful and how much better of a day it is outside, in the sun, in the light. It's such a waste to stay indoors in the dark all day when there's a bright world outside waiting for you. Similarly, let us not waste each day sitting in the dark when Jesus invites us to come to him every day. I love this chapter. I think it's such a beautiful chapter. It starts off with Nicodemus in the night, in the darkness, coming to Jesus in secrecy. Probably because he was a religious leader and those Pharisees, they were really appalled by Jesus' teaching and ways. Perhaps he was worried about what they would think if they knew that he was curious to learn more about him. He was half in, half out, afraid. But this part of the passage ends with Jesus talking about the light. He says, "Come to the light. You can't believe in me with part of your heart, but with all of it. Don't sit in the darkness, afraid of being exposed, but come to me and receive my forgiveness." And perhaps this is you today, like Nicodemus. If you're in the darkness, allow Jesus' words to ring true to you. Come to me, come to the light. It is not condemnation that awaits you, but his everlasting love. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, that because of you, we can share in your sufferings, but also your resurrection. Through you, we are born again, made anew, and we don't need to be afraid of the darkness anymore, because in your light, there is freedom, forgiveness, redemption, and transformation. It's not because we deserved it or because we did anything to earn this, but because simply because you loved us. You loved us so much that you sent your only son to die on the cross so that we may have eternal life with you. So we thank you, Lord. Help us to come to you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.